The Imitation of Christ, Part 5, Chapter 21, Sorrow of Heart. If you wish to make progress in virtue, live in the fear of the Lord. Do not look for too much freedom. Discipline your senses and shun inane silliness. Sorrow opens the door to many a blessing, which dissoluteness usually destroys. It is a wonder that any man who considers and meditates on his exiled state and the many dangers to his soul can ever be perfectly happy in this life. Light-hearted and heedless of our defects, we do not feel the real sorrows of our souls, but often indulge in empty laughter when we have good reason to weep. No liberty is true, and no joy is genuine, unless it is founded in the fear of the Lord and a good conscience. Happy the man who can throw off the weight of every care and recollect himself in holy contrition. Happy the man who casts from him all that can stain or burden his conscience. Fight like a man. Habit is overcome by habit. If you leave men alone, they will leave you alone to do what you have to do. Do not busy yourself about the affairs of others, and do not become entangled in the business of your superiors. Keep an eye primarily on yourself, and admonish yourself instead of your friends. If you do not enjoy the favor of men, do not let it sadden you, but consider it a serious matter if you do not conduct yourself as well or as carefully as is becoming for a servant of God and a devout religious. It is often better and safer for us to have few consolations in this life, especially comforts of the body. Yet, if we do not have divine consolation or experience it rarely, it is our own fault, because we seek no sorrow of heart and do not forsake vain outward satisfaction. Consider yourself unworthy of divine solace and deserving rather of much tribulation. When a man is perfectly contrite, the whole world is bitter and wearisome to him. A good man always finds enough over which to mourn and weep. Whether he thinks of himself or his neighbor, he knows that no one lives here without suffering, and the closer he examines himself, the more he grieves. The sins and vices in which we are so entangled that we can rarely apply ourselves to the contemplation of heaven are matters for just sorrow and inner remorse. I do not doubt that you would correct yourself more earnestly if you would think more of an early death than a long life. And if you pondered in your heart the future pains of hell or of purgatory, I believe you would willingly endure labor and trouble, and would fear no hardship. But since these thoughts never pierce the heart, and since we are enamored of flattering pleasure, we remain very cold and indifferent. Our wretched body complains so easily because our soul is altogether too lifeless. Pray humbly to the Lord, therefore, that he may give you the spirit of contrition, and say with the prophet, "Feed me, Lord, with the bread of mourning, and give me to drink of tears in full measure." The 22nd chapter, Thoughts on the Misery of Man. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you are miserable unless you turn to God. So why be dismayed when things do not happen as you wish and desire? Is there anyone who has everything as he wishes? No, neither I, nor you, nor any man on earth. There is no one in the world, be he pope or king, who does not suffer trial and anguish. Who's the better off then? Surely, it is the man who will suffer something for God. Many unstable and weak-minded people say, see how well that man lives, how rich, how great he is, how powerful and mighty. But you must lift up your eyes to the riches of heaven and realize that the material goods of which they speak are nothing. These things are uncertain and very burdensome because they are never possessed without anxiety and fear. Man's happiness does not consist in the possession of abundant goods. A very little is enough. Living on earth is truly a misery. The more a man desires spiritual life, the more bitter the present becomes to him, because he understands better and sees more clearly the defects, the corruption of human nature. To eat and drink, to watch and sleep, to rest, to labor, and to be bound by other human necessities is certainly a great misery and affliction to the devout man, who would gladly be released from them and be free from all sin. Truly, the inner man is greatly burdened in this world by the necessities of the body, and for this reason the prophet prayed that he might be as free from them as possible when he said, "From my necessities, O Lord, deliver me." But woe to those who know not their own misery, and greater woe to those who love this miserable and corruptible life. Some, indeed, can scarcely procure its necessities either by work or by begging. Yet they love it so much that if they could live here always, they would care nothing for the kingdom of God. How foolish and faithless of heart are those who are so engrossed in earthly things as to relish nothing but what is carnal. Miserable men indeed, for in the end they will see to their sorrow how cheap and worthless was the thing they loved. The saints of God and all devout friends of Christ did not look to what pleases the body nor to the things that are popular from time to time. Their whole hope and aim centered on the everlasting good. Their whole desire pointed upward to the lasting and invisible realm, lest the love of what is visible drag them down to lower things. Do not lose heart, then, my brother, in pursuing your spiritual life. There is yet time, and your hour is not past. Why delay your purpose? Arise! Begin at once and say, "Now is the time to act. Now is the time to fight. Now is the proper time to amend." When you are troubled and afflicted, that is the time to gain merit. You must pass through water and fire before coming to rest. Unless you do violence to yourself, you will not overcome vice. So long as we live in this fragile body, we can neither be free from sin nor live without weariness and sorrow. Gladly would we rest from all misery, but in losing innocence through sin, we also lost true blessedness. Therefore, we must have patience and await the mercy of God until this iniquity passes, until mortality is swallowed up in life. How great is the frailty of human nature, which is ever prone to evil. Today you confess your sins, and tomorrow you again commit the sins which you confessed. One moment you resolve to be careful, and yet, after an hour, you act as though you had made no resolution. We have cause, therefore, because of our frailty and feebleness, to humble ourselves and never think anything great of ourselves. Through neglect, we may quickly lose that which by God's grace we have acquired only through long, hard labor. What eventually will become of us who so quickly grow lukewarm? Woe to us if we presume to rest in peace and security, when actually there is no true holiness in our lives. It would be beneficial for us, like good novices, to be instructed once more in the principles of a good life to see if there be hope of amendment and greater spiritual progress in the future. End of part 5.